Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our May Spiritual Outreach. I'm Nancy Gravy, a Dame of Malta from the New Jersey area and a member of the Board of Counselors and the Spirituality Committee. We are grateful to have Father Philip Michael Tangora with us this morning to discuss Mary, servant and healthcare worker. This call has been pre-recorded because Father Tangora and I will both be landing in Lourdes this morning. His topic is a very fitting one, as the pilgrimage to Lourdes is focused on taking care of the sick, and it is a fundamental part of our charism as members of the order. Father Tangora is a deputy chaplain in the New Jersey area. He is the pastor of Our Lady Queen of Peace Roman Catholic Church in Branchville, New Jersey, and a defender of the bond for the Marriage Tribunal of Patterson. Father Tangora is the canonical consultant on the Sunrise Morning Show and can be heard internationally every Wednesday on EWTN and Sacred Heart Radio. He was a co-founder and president of Mary for Haiti, whose aim is to support a parish in Haiti recovering from the 2010 earthquake. He is the author of Holiness and Living, The Sacramental Life, a part of the Living Faith series published by Emmaus Road. There is more which you can read on his parish website. Father Tangora has a licentiate Dogmatic Theology from the Anglicum in Rome and a licentiate in canon law from Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C. Father Tangora was named a deputy chaplain for the Order of Malta American Association in 2023. We were very fortunate and blessed to have him with us on the Pilgrimage for Life this past January. And at this moment, I am with him in Lourdes on his first pilgrimage with the association. Good morning, Father Tangora, and thank you for preparing this talk for broadcast today.
Good morning, everyone. Let us begin with a prayer. And since it is appropriate that we are focusing on the Blessed Virgin Mary, let us entrust this talk and our pilgrimage in Lourdes to the Blessed Virgin Mary. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we ask you to bless all of the knights and dames of the Order of Malta. We ask you to strengthen all of us who are currently on pilgrimage in Lourdes and those that we hold up in prayer so that they are spiritually with us on this pilgrimage. We pray for all the sick and those suffering of any form of malady of heart, mind, body, or soul. And Lord Jesus, we entrust this all to the ever-perfect hands of your Mother as we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy clemency hear and answer them. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And as Nancy Gravy beautifully introduced, this topic is going to be on the Blessed Virgin Mary, specifically as servant and as a healthcare provider, which is probably some way of thinking of Mary that is not all too, like, hopefully will illustrate to look at Mary as a healthcare provider. So before we get into that, it's important to talk about our own personal formation in the image and likeness of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when we talk about that formation, we know that God has formed us in our own mother's womb and made us in his image, and has bestowed upon us an ineffable dignity, that is an ontological dignity and a moral dignity. Now, that ontological dignity is something that is permanent. It is unbreakable. It is a dignity that we are as children of God, his creation, and that dignity can never be removed, that can never be lost. It is ingrained within us permanently. However, there is a moral dignity, and that moral dignity is something that can change. So when we cooperate with God's grace, when we are growing in holiness, when we are acting as servants, when we are following as disciples of Jesus Christ, that dignity obviously is going to be magnified. However, as was recently addressed in a document from the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith called Dignitas Infinita, which came out on April 8th, so just a couple of days ago and earlier this month, our moral dignity can change by either cooperating with grace or diminishing it through sin. So this moral dignity is something that can be potentially diminished and or lost due to sin. Now, when I think about formation and formation in the image and likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, one of the things as a cleric that comes to mind is the post-synodal apostolic exhortation of Pope St. John Paul II, Pastores Dabo Vobis, meaning I will give you shepherds. And it is in this document that Pope St. John Paul II provides four pillars for formation for specifically clergy, but honestly could be applied to any Christian whatsoever. Those four pillars are the human, the intellectual, the spiritual, and the pastoral. Now, obviously, with the human, that works on our character flaws and observing them. It's grounded in Socrates. Know thyself is the first stage of wisdom. So in this way, we are called to know one's own humanity, and cultivate those human virtues to address the different weaknesses that are present in our nature, in our psyche, etc., all those different ways. The intellectual is exactly what it sounds like. It is our intellectual illumination. This is where we need to come to know and understand our faith and truths of reality in general. Then there is the spiritual formation, so that's obviously going to be prayer and penance, especially, that is going to work on cultivating with the human and the intellectual those heavenly virtues, the cardinal virtues, the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love, so that we can truly mature into that image and likeness of God. So this is where we talk about the moral dignity being properly cultivated. And this has to, it just has to be expressed. And so that's the fourth pillar, the pastoral. So all that we have cultivated in our spiritual and human and intellectual formation has to be expressed. So for so many of you who are professionals in all different walks of life, you need to use those gifts and those talents, that knowledge that you have cultivated, that experience that you have cultivated, those human virtues that you have cultivated and the spiritual life that you have cultivated to bring forth in a pastoral actualization. And this is clearly service, but for the Order of Malta, which is the Hospitaller's Order, it is also specifically a healthcare service. It is a service to the sick. It is a service to those who are disenfranchised. It is a service to those who are in greatest need. And so obviously for us in the Order of Malta, it is so very important that our human, intellectual, and spiritual formation undergoes all the cultivation, all that strengthening for the pastoral actualization of our mission, which is a healthcare mission in part and service. So then we can talk about this also in the way of Origen, Pseudo-Dionysius the Areopagite, and St. Maximus the Confessor, who were synthesized beautifully in the Scholastic era by St. Thomas Aquinas when we talk about, and also greatly by St. Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross, the purgative, illuminative, and unitive ways. So the purgative is all about that moral and spiritual purification of heart, mind, body, and soul, the intellectual illumination, which ultimately leads us to the way of perfection, which is unity and our service as knights and dames is all about uniting not only ourselves, but also others to God, especially those who are the sick, those who are the disenfranchised, those who are in most need. And so in this way, we are uniting this whole formative experience to understand why we need Mary as a model of servant and healthcare worker is so that we can look to her as that model for our purification, our intellectual illumination, our spiritual, human, and intellectual formation so that we can then properly actualize that in the pastoral works that we're engaged in. So now, without further ado, let us look at Mary as servant and healthcare worker. This really begins with Mary's visit to Elizabeth. So let's look at Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. During those days, Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed are you who believe that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." When Mary visits Elizabeth, she comes right after the Annunciation. So having received God, having received all that grace at the Annunciation, she is now compelled to service. It's just like St. Paul says, "Caritas Christi urget nos." The love of Christ urges us. It moves us into service. When we receive God, we have to serve. Pope St. John Paul II spoke in his last encyclical, Ecclesia Dei Eucharistia, where he beautifully said that having received the Eucharist, we are compelled to Christian service, to the building up of the kingdom of God, for our own growth in holiness and the uniting of our brothers and sisters in Christ into greater perfect union with God. And so we are obviously, when we receive Jesus, the Eucharistic Lord, just the way that Mary received Jesus, the Eucharistic Lord, in her womb, we receive at Holy Communion, we are compelled toward service. And Mary witnesses that. The second she finds out in the Annunciation discourse with St. Gabriel the Archangel that her cousin Elizabeth, who was thought barren, has conceived and is already in her sixth month, she then goes to her and provides that service. But this is very interesting. And we will so just put a little pin in it, because the specific service that Mary provides is a healthcare service. We're just going to put a little pin in that for a moment and first look at Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth was barren, and we see in both the examples of Leah in Genesis 29, 31 to 32, and Rachel in Genesis 39, 22, that God opens wombs of women who are praying to become pregnant. Because God is the source of life, he brings forth life. In fact, we see God in Hebrew interpretations of the scriptures, especially Hosea 11, 3 to 4, and Isaiah 45, 10 through 11. We see in their midrash that God is understood metaphorically as a midwife, one of these several different types of female metaphors for God, because he is the creator of life. He is the one who brings life into the world. Helping that mother is the midwife. And so in this way, God is seen as a midwife. Now, since this understanding of God as midwife is present in the Hebrew interpretation of the scriptures, our Jewish interpretation of the scriptures, we can actually expand upon this a little bit deeper and see, well, who is the handmaid of the Lord? None other but the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary says that right at the Annunciation narrative, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy word." So she is that handmaid. So she assists God in bringing forth new life. And she does this as the new Eve, who is immaculately conceived, just the way that Eve brought forth the life that ends with death. Mary brings forth new life as the new Eve, because she is bringing forth the life that no longer dies, because she brings forth Jesus, who wins the victory over death, which we've been celebrating this Easter season. We see Mary as the bringer forth of life, as the mediatrix of all graces, because it's through her, as St. Bernardine of Siena would describe her, she is the neck to the mystical body. Jesus is the head. So all the grace comes from the head. That's why it's called capital grace. And it then flows through to the body. But to flow through to the body, it has to pass through the neck. And so Mary is this mediatrix of grace, which provides life, which provides all that the church needs to thrive, to move, to embrace the powers of God. And we also then see Pope St. Paul VI, at the end of the Second Vatican Council, declare solemnly that Mary is the mother of the church. And as mother, she is the one who births the church with Jesus Christ at the foot of the cross. She is the one who is the mother of all those that her son has brought to eternal life, the sons and daughters of God in the church. So Mary is the hand of God to assist God as that image, that metaphor of, and we see her do that specifically when she goes to Elizabeth, because she was there for those last 3 months. She was there at the birth of John the Baptist. She was there providing that health care, that service to Elizabeth. But we also see Mary in a very bloody moment in the life of Christ, when we see her as the health care worker who cleans up after the scourging at the pillar. We see Mary who's standing at the foot of the cross, who is praying over her son. And we see Mary receive the corpse of her son. And just like that healthcare worker, she will even be there to take care of the dead. And that is all part of that healthcare service, not only bringing forth new life as midwife, but also being there when we are in the most wretched pain and suffering, the way she was for Jesus Christ and her son, and even at the moment of our death, there to embrace us and there to hold us and serve us. So Mary is truly a model for all of us as Knights and Dames of Malta in both the role of servant and healthcare worker. Our Christian formation calls us to know, understand, and to express God, to then go forth purified by that grace and serve others, especially as healers of health, witnessed to by Mary, the midwife, and Mary at the foot of the cross. We also see Mary, as I said, as one who brings forth many healing miracles, such as Lourdes, and shows us how Mary continues to be the healer of health. And if we are going to be her hands, if we are going to model ourselves after her and be the hands of God the Father in this world, then it is so very necessary for each one of us to look to the Blessed Virgin Mary as servant and healthcare worker. Thank you.
Thank you, Father Tangor, for a beautiful and perfectly timely talk as we are here in Lourdes and given the privilege of caring for our beloved Milads and their devoted caregivers. Thanks to all who have joined the call. The recording will be posted to the website in the next several days. Our next call is Wednesday, June 5th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Bishop Peter Rozaza, a Congregational Chaplain in Eastern Connecticut, will speak on the patron saint of the order, St. John the Baptist. We look forward to you joining us on June 5th. God bless you and have a great day. Goodbye.